You're in a position where there's a lot of phone calling, where there's a lot of text, there's a communication, where there's a lot of emails, there's a lot of communication, talks face to face, time spent together, investment in relationship, because there's a dependence. And then when that dependence is gone, you'll find that those relationships go. Even good friendships. We put into good friendships because there's a need in our heart for that communion with that person. And there's a mutual need. There's a need on the other person's part. And so we invest in that. There's a dependence, one from another. And that's why we so enjoy your fellowship, because we depend on that fellowship, that communion with the saints. We depend on that. And we depend on one another, and that's why we're called the body of Christ, because we all depend on one another in order to function. Look at your own human body, right? When something goes wrong, and you can no longer depend upon a part, the whole body suffers. The whole body is in pain, or the whole body is weakened, or some other effect comes about. We are so dependent on one another. God has created us to be like that. We even are dependent upon one another to even hear God's voice and to hear what He is saying. That is why it's not good for us to be alone. God does not want man to be alone. He created him to be in communion with others. And He created man to be first in communion with himself. And this is what creates the perfect harmony of creation, is that every part, every human, every person that He gives breath to is in union with the head by whom the worlds consist, receiving their breath from Him, and then sharing that life with others and being in communion. This produces the perfect harmony. God has created us to be like that. He has created us to be dependent. Now, the thing of it is that I'm not telling any of you anything new. We all know this. We all know that this is the way we were created. But what is it that prohibits our ability to walk in the reality of it? And there's several answers to this, many answers to this. But I think that the first, that what comes to me first is pride. Because pride tells us that we can do it on our own. Pride tells us that oh, I've done this before, I know how to do this, this is what you do, and all that, and get her done. That's it. We do it. And it's a pride. It's a pride in what we have become. And I believe that's what tripped up the original Adam and Eve. That somehow, by listening to the voice of Satan, who was that serpent or whatever animal that was there, manifesting a spirit of pride came in, which said, God is withholding something from me. God is withholding knowledge from me. If I get this knowledge, then, I can do it by myself. If I get this knowledge, then I'm sufficient. I'm sufficient in myself. I'm enough. And it's pride at the root of the issue. And when Jesus found himself in the form of man, And we can read about this in Philippians chapter 5. This verse means a lot to me. I meditate on it all the time. And I want this to be in my life. But when Jesus found himself in the form of man, he came to a place where he knew he was God and man. And he said, oh, I'm man. What did he do? He humbled himself. He humbled himself. He didn't become prideful. He didn't become independent. But he humbled himself. And I told you the last time I was here about the revelation that I have received about prayer. That prayer and coming to God is the statement of our life that says, God, I am dependent upon you. And this is why Jesus prayed the way he prayed. He prayed because he needed to keep that dependency upon his Father. Let's turn to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John chapter 5. This is what Jesus' confession was. Then answered Jesus, this is John 5, 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also the Son does. Likewise, he does what he sees the Father doing. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. And I'm just going to read 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickens whom he will. And it goes on to talk about the resurrection. But he says the Son can do nothing of himself. That was Jesus' mindset. I can do nothing of myself. And I'm looking at a group of extremely talented and capable people here who have many talents and many abilities and can produce and do even in the things of the Spirit. So what do you mean that Jesus was relegated to this place of humility? Humility is a state of mind that we get by having communion with God who is greater than us. And when we have communion with him, we are awestruck by his glory. And because of it, we are humbled. And we know that God is God and we are not. We are not. We know that when we're in communion with him. So the Son said that he would do nothing of himself. Let's turn to John chapter 15 while we're in John. Turn to John chapter 15. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do everything. Nothing. And yet we do lots of stuff, don't we? We do lots of stuff. Sometimes we do too much stuff. We do, we accomplish, we do. But without the reality of the situation is that without that next breath, we cannot do a thing. It all comes from God. It comes from God. Now, something like fear, for instance, something like fear causes us to get into a state where we forget about the next breath from God. Fear basically is a manifestation of desiring control. Fear is that which drives us crazy until we can have the control. And fear, when it is brought to its nth degree, can put you in the grave. But fear is that bondage that comes upon every single one of us and that wants to rule and reign within us. But God never created us to live in that spirit of fear. When Adam was created, I don't think he was afraid of anything. He had all those animals, those wild animals all around him, and he wasn't afraid of them. He had dominion over them. He had dominion over all that. There was no fear in Adam's world when he was created. This is what God has caused us to live in. He wants us to live in that. A place where we do not have the control, where God has the control. So what are we so afraid about? So we can be released from the curse of fear. We can be released from that while we understand that we are totally dependent on Him for even the next breath. God wants us to live in the good of the land. He wants us to live in the abundant life. He wants us to live in the glory of God, not taking it unto ourselves, but living in that place of communion where we share with Him His very nature, His character, the weight of who He is, where we're in on that. Where we derive our life from that. That's where we were created to live. But somehow we seem to fall short of it because we, in our humanness, silly me, think that we can do it better. That's equivalent to me sitting in the midst of Einstein and other mathematicians and having me teach them a course on math, which is a disaster, by the way. How could I think that I could teach them anything about that? No, I could never. In fact, if they tried to teach me, my brain would not even apprehend what in the world they were talking about. That's where the state of that is. But as humans, we tend to think in that prideful place. Whereas being found in the form of man, we humble ourselves and say, Father, unless you call me to live for the purpose for which I have been born, I am nothing. Lord, I cannot do anything of myself, of my own strength. I am weak. I do not have what it takes to enter into the good of it. Lord, I humble myself like the Lord Jesus. And in Philippians 2:5, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mindset grip us. Let it take hold in our being that God is God and we are man. We are his creation. We are not him. We cannot have control like that. We only are given what we are given in him.